A lot of people worried about a lot of things right now, and whether you can get toilet paper or food or when you got to go back to work, worried about the stock market, and also worried about their money. The Fed's been doing a lot to add liquidity to the system, and so have the banks, and that means very busy times for Curt Farmer, the chairman, president, and CEO of Comerica, who joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
David, it's good to be with you.
We appreciate the time. So first of all, tell me the system's working. We keep seeing headlines almost on a daily basis. The Fed is injecting liquidity. Are you getting all the money you need?
David, I think the whole banking industry came into this financial crisis from a position of strength. There's plenty of liquidity in the network. Consumers do not need to worry about access to cash or access to payments network, credit card flow, et cetera, heading into the crisis. And I would say that overall that we're seeing relatively well-behaved activity, both from consumers and businesses thus far. Certainly, as this thing gets more protracted, we're going to be watching for stresses in the system or the network. But thus far, things are operating in a fairly orderly manner.
The concern, of course, is that there are going to be margin calls, that people will have to sell things they don't want to sell. We're already seeing it in the stock market right now. Are you in that position yet? Are you seeing any stress there?
You know, a little bit. I would say, you know, more on the commercial lending side, on the business side, we have had some companies that have been tapping credit facilities and drawing down on liquidity, less because they're dealing with a lot of stress thus far, but more preparing themselves for how long this might last and sort of the duration of it over the next, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, and just making sure that they're in a strong liquidity and capital position. But thus far, we've been able to work with our customers and accommodate their needs.
You know, you're in a unique position because of where you do business, and really in the big growth areas, Texas, California, Florida, Arizona, Michigan. But you've got, you know, the coronavirus in California. We got $23 oil in Texas. You've got, I guess, layoffs in Michigan. Tell me about your universe right there geographically. What are you seeing?
Yeah, every market's a little bit different. We operate in five primary states, and each of those states is dealing with some unique pressures that would be somewhat idiosyncratic to the economies in those states. Certainly, there are some concerns about certain industries. You're seeing those that are more sensitive, such as airlines and hotels, hospitality. Some concerns about the auto industry overall. But I would say that in general, that, you know, sort of broadly, while there are some puts and takes in some industries that are benefiting from the current environment, those that are more in the food services or supplying staples like paper towels, et cetera, you're seeing some strength there. But this has a pretty broad impact across all geographies and all markets as it gets more protracted, and certainly all businesses.
You know, the timing, it seems like, couldn't have been worse for the Saudis and Russians to get into an oil price war with West Texas caught in the middle.
Yeah, it is an interesting from that perspective, and we were already seeing some depression and oil prices, you know, before all that began. What I would say is that, you know, people ask the question of me, can the exploration and production, the drilling firms, make money at these levels? And I think that they can operate at these depressed prices on West Texas crude. But the question is just how long does this does this play out? And so the longer it goes, the more pressure that implies. And there's certainly a lack of capital and equity flowing into the industries we've talked about previously. But I think most of the companies we work with are doing a good job of cutting expenses and trying to adjust their expense base overall, really based on where prices are right now. But again, I think it's less about where we are and more about how long does it stay in this range.
You know, I can't help but wonder what it would be like if we were going through this virus and this, you know, sequestered home 20 years ago. And for your business, I mean, we didn't have electronic banking. I wouldn't be able to go into my office and pick up my paycheck and then go down to the bank and deliver it. And I might not be able to have enough stamps to turn around and pay my bills. But nobody thinks about that anymore.
Yeah, it's been quite a transformation of the industry overall, and I think it has positioned us better to weather an environment like we're operating in today. In our own situation, you know, customers are certainly leveraging mobile banking, and we've worked to make that as flexible as possible. For example, raising limits on the amount of a deposit that can be made remotely to an account. Customers are leveraging ATMs if they need to access cash, and we're trying to make sure that there's plenty of cash in the network for that. And then we have still maintained hours at our traditional banking centers and our branches on a more limited basis. In some cases, it would be only through drive-throughs. In other cases, we have more limited lobby access. But we still have employees out in those centers trying to make sure that we take care of those customers, especially those that might not have access to mobile or online channels. David, we have moved about 60 to 70% of our employees are now working in a remote format, so it's amazing what technology has done for us, but we do have some employees that still need to be out in customer interfacing roles. Sure. And we've done some things to try to help them. We've given our employees a stipend for additional child care if they're in a situation where school is out and they need help there. We also are providing some premium payments to our employees who are more in harm's way to help them sort of offset some of the costs or other issues that they might be incurring along the way. And so we're doing everything we can to try to create an environment that's safe for our employees, that you know, allows us to continue to serve our customers and ensure their safety and to support the communities that we operate in.
It sounds like a model corporate approach, and you're to be congratulated for it. You know, just looking for, allowing us the luxury of looking forward for a minute, as we come out of this, which we will, I've got a feeling, I mean, there'll be some long-term changes, and not necessarily for the worse, but I think of your business. I'm sure there are a lot of individuals, a lot of corporations that really haven't embraced electronic banking, for example. And by the same token, you're learning about your ability to work, you know, have employees that are off-site. I would think that coming out of this, there are a lot of lessons that we've learned just about how to do business.
Yeah, I think there always are. I always remind our employees that our company has been in existence for 170 years and that we've managed through a lot of crises and world events over time, and every time you do, there's things that you learn. This is such a unique situation because it's not only a financial crisis, it's really a health and well-being crisis, and that really is leading to the financial crisis. But there's always things that you learn, and one of the things that we've been doing is trying to take really good notes on what we would do differently next time around. And we hope that it doesn't come back, but there's a possibility that, you know, we make it through the summer, this COVID situation dies down, but it reemerges in the fall. And if that's the case, we want to make sure that we've done everything we can to enable the company to work as remotely as possible and still make sure that our customers are serviced well. You know, David, one thing I do want to maybe, I talked a little bit about earlier about supporting our communities, and we are announcing today that we're making a $4 million commitment to the communities that we serve, and that will be supporting small businesses and micro businesses, sort of the neighborhood businesses that we all know of, and the agencies that support them, and then also supporting some of the most vulnerable, you know, parts of our population, those that are struggling with food insecurity or access to health care, some of the basic needs. And so we'll be announcing that today, and we want to make sure that we continue to support all the communities that we operate in.
That's outstanding. Kurt Farmers, Chairman, President, and CEO of Comerica. We wish you another 170 years. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, David.
I appreciate it. For more of our conversation with Mr. Farmer, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.